Welcome back to Waffling, everyone. I've actually got a camera to look at today.
It's not waffling.
Did I say waffling? Oh, no. Welcome back to Racecast is what I meant. Jesus, that is a blast from the past, isn't it? Yeah, apologies.
I guarantee I'm not in the right place if that's...
Yeah, and I'm...
No one would want me here.
I am being severely underpaid as well.
Yeah, no one would want me here if this was waffling.
But, yeah, we are live on TikTok right now, so... I'm going to say hello to everyone who is watching on TikTok. Also, hello to you guys listening on audio. This is something that we're going to be doing a little bit more of, so make sure you follow us on, well, really, all social media. Just search Racecast into TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. You will find us there. We're doing a lot more recently. It's kicking off. It's nice. It's nice. We like to do it. If you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify right now, which you have to be, then do give us a 5-star rating. Also, you lot on TikTok, after this, go to our Spotify page and give us 5 stars, because it really does make a big difference to us. But yeah, we've obviously wrapped up the season, the Formula One season. I think we're all a little bit grateful for that. I think Abu Dhabi sort of epitomized the season that we've had to endure. But we are going to talk all F1 news, everything Abu Dhabi, and then we have also got a little bit of fun at the end, where it's basically I've got some questions for you, or I'm going to challenge your knowledge at the end of the season, well, based on the season, as the season's ended, all right? So, stick around. Meow. that's apparently part of the podcast now.
All right, guys, so welcome along. Yeah, this is a bit of a weird one, because this is the first time we've actually... filmed a live podcast, which is new for us. So recently I've done a couple of lives. You haven't done a live, have you, yet? Because I did one over the weekend.
I'm actually really not a fan of going live. I mean, you'll know that I say stupid shit quite a lot. There are some things that have to be, like, we have cut stuff from the podcast, and it's always things that I've said. And also the idea of going live, like, I don't know, there's something I don't like the idea of it. Like, I don't think it's natural that someone is watching me through that phone right now as I speak.
You're not really selling it.
No, but thanks for joining. And obviously, like, feel free to send any messages in here on the TikToks. yeah, obviously, we will get involved. We'll read stuff out throughout. But
do you know, on Saturday when I did the qualifying live, we got 3,000 likes. So if you are listening on TikTok or watching on TikTok, leave a like. That'd be greatly appreciated.
Does anyone understand how TikTok works?
Not a Scooby. I have no idea.
Yeah, do you know what? Matt's obviously nearly 40. And like, as I'm now 27, approaching 28, I am starting to feel like slowly out of touch with... don't worry, I've got everything on here. You can sit back, relax. I've got it in front of me. I am... starting to feel like, oh my god, maybe I don't understand all this technology, because TikTok is not something that I've used properly ever. Like, I've got 6 followers on my TikTok account. I don't follow anyone. The only reason I've got a TikTok account is I don't know why I have a TikTok.
You like
account.
To learn the dance trends.
I don't use it. I honestly don't use it. The only time I log into TikTok is to upload a video for Racecast. That is genuinely the only time I use it. But yeah, just also let us know, guys, if at any point, like, you can't hear us over on TikTok, there's not a lot we can do about it, but maybe we'll try and speak a bit louder.
Right, so shall we get into a bit of news? Because the season is done, and James Vowles, do you know what? May I just say, before we continue, I've been thoroughly impressed with him this year at Williams. I think he's done a brilliant job.
He's done a 360, because I feel like 2021 in particular, some of the strategy calls were infuriating. And obviously, he was the man in charge of strategy at Mercedes during that. Well, I mean, he'd obviously been there a while, but, like, you know, the Max and Lewis battle. And I feel like some of the strategy calls were poor. So when he left, I was like, thank God. It would be like if we got a new pit crew. I was delighted. But, like, I'm also very happy to see that he's gone on and actually performed really well. And I think he does a lot on the pit wall with Sky, and he always comes across like 10 out of 10. I rate him. I'm delighted for Williams that they've had a good season in comparison.
But do you see his social media posts on Williams he does in the week? Like when they break down, so a lot of fan questions, they really break down you know, any questions. He goes into like aerodynamics. He goes into why they went for a specific strategy. It's really interesting to see. And like, he really goes into depth.
I'll be honest, I'm still not going to trust anything that he says on strategy. Like I said, there were some dodgy calls at Mercedes.
Yeah.
But as a team principal, bang, he's knocked it out of the park.
He's decent. So Logan Sargeant failed to qualify higher than Albon in 22 attempts. And, suspiciously, he is the only driver on the grid whose spot for 2024 is yet to be confirmed.
Now, I saw this. I was under the impression he had been confirmed.
Yeah. All the stuff I've seen, he was confirmed. So I don't really understand where it's come from that he's not.
Can we just confirm, right? Do you guys that are watching right now, hopefully you're F1 fans, does anyone else remember Logan Sargeant being confirmed? Because I'm like 99% sure that I remember him getting confirmed. And then, yeah, James Vowles comes out with an interesting quote.
Yeah, he says, whatever happens, Logan has been part of the Williams Academy for many years and will always remain a part of our academy. I mean, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because did you also hear the post radio, you know, on the in-lap after the race?
No, I didn't.
Because Logan was very saying, thank you very much for all this opportunity. It's been great. But then James Vowles came over the radio and said, oh, you know, hopefully we can improve on this and build forward and we look forward to many years. But reading this statement, it's really hard to believe here because...
No, that to me is saying... He's not got a seat because... What else is there to discuss, all right? The thing with Logan Sargeant is that he brings a lot of money to the team. His dad is like an oil god, whatever you want to call them.
And an oil god.
Well, like, I'm pretty sure that's what he's referred to as. He is bringing so much money to a team that is so desperate for money.
Mm.
But it's that sort of catch-22 where you find yourself, well, we need the money. Oh, but with a driver like him, we're never going to progress. And, you know, have they just found themselves another Nicholas Latifi?
Okay, talking on Latifi here, right? It's interesting, isn't it? We've had some really bad drivers over the years. However, what I want to know, who is worse, Logan Sargeant or Nicholas Latifi?
Honestly, I wouldn't trust either of them to drive me to the shop. Because they are... You know what? No, I'm going to say this. I think... It's so hard to say. I think Sargeant's better than Latifi, but...
No. Come on. At least Latifi outscored his teammates. Or not outscored his teammates. When? He outqualified his teammates.
How often did Nicholas...
Rare. Very rare.
How often did Nicholas Latifi outqualify George Russell? And at least he had a few more seasons to actually try and do it.
Yeah.
I think... I mean, Nicky went up against Albon, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did he outqualify him ever?
On a couple of occasions, I think.
All right. No, I changed my answer. I think Logan Sargeant might be worse.
Yeah, no. I don't think we have ever seen a worse driver than Logan Sargeant.
What, you think he's the worst driver? Maldonado. He's got a race win. He has.
You can't say anything about it.
But he was diabolical.
Yeah. We always knew Logan Sargeant came from F2. He just scraped his license points. And it was always a big ask for him coming into F1. We said this at the beginning of the season.
You know who Logan Sargeant reminds me of?
No.
And this is a general statement. It's not like directed at you, but your mum. Your mum driving around in her car, thinking that she's doing like 100 miles an hour, but really she's going like 20 miles an hour. She thinks everyone around her is speeding, driving recklessly. Because he's not much of a crasher, in fairness. Although he has actually, he has had quite a few crashes, but I feel like Latifi crashed more. I feel like he's generally just really slow.
Talking on that, you know, you're saying about the... drivers going slow. Have I ever told you the story when I went to Silverstone? I had one of those track days when I was younger.
Did they say you were the slowest man to ever do it?
No. So, well, no. Close. I literally thought I was absolutely flying, okay? And little did I know, I was the slowest by literally 25 seconds.
That does not surprise me.
No, I didn't think it would, but I was devastated because I'm
not embarrassed, like humiliated.
No, I was. But I generally thought, so if you're listening at home or you're watching on TikTok, has that ever happened to you?
That's not happened to anyone but you. I can guarantee you.
I generally thought I was flying.
No one has ever been 25 seconds a lap slower.
I thought I was in that RB19.
Do you know someone who actually might be 25 seconds a lap slower?
Yeah.
We actually had a good comment. Who is worse, Mazepin or Sargent?
Oh!
Now this came from TikTok, right? If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
That is a good question.
This is a great question. You've got to say Mazepin was worse.
All right, I retract my statement. Mazepin is the worst driver we've ever seen in F1.
Yeah, I'm gonna double down on that.
Sorry, Sargent. Yeah, no, there's Sargent. At least, I mean, even what he did in Vegas, he did more than what Mazepin did in those 2 years.
Yeah, no, 100%. That is a thanks for reminding us about Mazepin. Actually,
I always forgot about him. Yeah, he was.
It's almost because, right, he was so bad that when he was in the sport, obviously, he couldn't get away from how bad he was. I know the car was also bad, but now he's gone, it's almost just like you just completely forget, don't you?
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. I don't think Sargent is that far off Mazepin, though, when you look at how bad these drivers are.
No, because Sargent's got a much better car.
Yeah.
This Williams is a much better car than the Haas that Mazepin was driving.
Yeah. Talking about the Haas, obviously with Williams and what we're saying about whether Sargent has a seat, Mick Schumacher and Filip Drugovich were linked to those Williams seats. Obviously, we know Mick has signed with an Alpine...
Hypercar
team. Drugovich, I can't see... I still think he's next in line for Aston Martin.
I can't see him leaving. We'll touch on Filipe Drugovich because he was obviously in the FP1 session that was jam-packed with young test drivers. But yeah, I can't see... At the stage of which Aston Martin are, I can't see him leaving there because you look at it from two perspectives, right? He's either going to wait for Alonso to retire, who, realistically, Alonso is... How many more years can he squeeze out of himself until he's like, boys, I'm done. Like, it's hard to wake up in the morning.
I still think he could go for another 3 or 4 years.
See, so this is the risk that Drugovich takes. Does he stay? And then he's just like, well, I'll hedge my bets that Alonso's going to retire at some point because he's an old boy. Or is father going to sack his son? Which is probably not going to happen. But then, you know, there was a point where Lance Stroll was going to go and become the new Tim Henman. So,
well, somebody did say the other day in a stream, they were like, oh, we're waiting for him to be like, you know, the Australian Open in January or something.
It might happen. And then Drugovic will be like, fuck, I've just joined Williams. And I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on the TikTok live. I don't know how TikTok works. But
I think you're allowed to swear.
Yeah. All right. Well, apologies if I'm not TikTok. But yeah. Pretty much, I think that it would be a great move for Mick Schumacher. And I think we even argued for Mick Schumacher last season that it would be a good move for Williams to snap him up.
I thought it would have been better for him to go to Williams than Sargent, in all honesty. I just didn't think... Yeah, I don't know. And we did say at the beginning, I did worry for Sargent because it is such a big step from F2 to F1. And actually...
Well, yeah, but you say that. You can't just worry for Sargent. I mean, Piastri's just done it and everyone's hailing him as like the best rookie since Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
In terms of rookie season.
Very close. Close. He was up there, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't close in terms of... But I mean, Lewis went for the championship, but... Oscar, it's probably a fact that he's had the best rookie season since Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, no, he's had a phenomenal season, phenomenal. Do you know if you go like this? Oh, no, you can't see the comments on there. Sorry, I was thinking it was on that one.
I can see them all here. Is this pod live? This pod is live. I mean, it's going to also be available on Spotify and Apple Podcast. And the person who's saying every time Luke talks about Mercedes, oh, I convince you that they're going to get a win. So basically, if you're new here, every week I read some bullshit on Reddit.
Yep.
That tells me that Mercedes are bringing upgrades that are going to gain them like a second a lap. And it'll be from someone like at I work at Brooksworth or Brackley or something. So I'm like, well, it's got to be true. Someone's tweeted it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I come on here and then say, well, Lewis has got the win this week because I read something online and they basically said that Merck have gained a second and they're going to dust the whole field. And this guy is saying that I genuinely convince him every week. Or her. Them. I'm going to say them. You might be non-binary. Which, she says we're both deluded. And it's like, it's true. You think I'm absolutely deluded.
Yeah, you are. You're massively deluded. Every week you tell me that, you know, Lewis Hamilton is going to be on the podium or he's going to go for the win. And every week
In fairness, Lewis has got... He got 6 podiums this season
out of 22, so let's put that into a percentage for you of getting it right.
It's not bad though. Yeah, no, granted, my win percentage was not great. I had a bit of a shocker, but I think this is it when you have such high expectations of a team.
Although our win percentage for Max Verstappen winning the race was very high. We must have been literally like 98%.
Correct. I think you were probably higher. I think I said Lewis is going to win a few. And he was
going to win like 5 of the 6 of them.
It never came to fruition.
No. Would you like some other news?
Yes.
So, AlphaTauri, Red Bull connection. You and I have had some discussions over the last couple of years about this, how we think it's just ridiculous that actually you can have a sister team on the grid because it's just weird. It's just bizarre because...
Well, only because we're... Like, I swear we've seen some blatant collusion on the track where the Yuki Tsunoda thing at Zandvoort, 2022, I am convinced Lewis Hamilton...
Broken car, should have retired, came back out and then retired on the... Which then led to a safety car.
It led to a safety car that massively benefited Max Verstappen. It punished Lewis and he then went on to, like... In the end, finished behind George. But I'm so convinced that he was going to win that race. And I'm even more convinced that Red Bull got on the blower to AlphaTauri and were like, send him out in that broken piece of shit. Let him break down on track. We need a safety car. And it happened.
Yeah.
We called it. I think I was watching it with Glenn. And we called it before saying like, this is going out and there's going to be a safety. And it happened.
Good news, though. Franz Tost. Franz Tost.
I mean, is it good news of it?
Well, it's good. Bye bye.
Yeah. I mean, he's gone. I don't know if it's good or bad news. You know, it's kind of.
I think it's good.
He's had a long career. Yeah. Was it 17 years or something?
Yeah, very very long career. He's done all right. But yeah, cheerio. So AlphaTauri Red Bull connection. Christian Horner has reminded them that the Red Bull teams have never put a pink Mercedes on the track. So. If you don't know what we mean, basically they're insinuating that when the racing point, the pink racing point, it was Mercedes engine.
Mercedes engine, and this was 2020.
2019, 2020?
I think it was 2020, and it was when they basically had the 2019, they had the 2019 Mercedes chassis,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
With the Mercedes engine, but... One thing I will say is it seems a little bit more unfair in these circumstances. Now, I'm going to put it out there because what I don't want to be called is bias, right? I couldn't care less if Mercedes gave their parts to anyone.
Yeah.
But if it was going to be advantageous to another team, I'd rather them just not. You know, we said the thing on sister teams. Racing Point was not a sister team, but they clearly had some sort of dodgy relationship going on where there were some backhanders.
Yeah.
But this AlphaTauri one is mental. And it's even more scary, I think, because we've got the absolute dominance of the Red Bull.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we can't have two of those. Like, the same team. It's like, how I want them to both lose. I want both of those teams to lose, and now they're both going to have the fastest cars on the grid.
Well, if you don't know, so next year, AlphaTauri are basically getting a hand-me-down of the RB19.
Yeah.
From what I hear, it is going to be a basic replica of the RB19. But
the thing that worries me, right, is that with the RB19 or even the RB18, Red Bull have cracked something. They understand this new era of cars better than anyone else on the grid, right? And if, in what they're allowed to share with AlphaTauri, or in theory, I assume they're allowed to share it with any team they want within the regulations.
Yeah.
What if the secret ingredient is in that? Now, naturally, AlphaTauri are never going to be able to catch up with Red Bull because they're so far ahead. Red Bull are going to continue developing, blah, blah, blah. But this could... We've seen how AlphaTauri have performed since Singapore, where they've received like the rear suspension of the Red Bull. For me, I just get a bit worried by it. And what I can't have is another season where Mercedes fall behind another car, because that will just ruin 2024 for me. I need a nice year.
I just want to see competition. That's what I want to see.
It's all well and good Christian Horner coming out with like snarky remarks about never. What the hell are you doing?
Just looking.
I'll inform you. You sit back, relax.
No, I like it.
It's all well and good Christian Horner coming out with snarky remarks like, oh, we've never had a pink Mercedes. But he seemed pretty pissed off when Aston Martin came with a green bull. Yeah. So,
forget the green bull.
Do you know what I mean? It's also one thing I want to mention.
Yeah.
I was watching something on F1 TV, probably like post-race analysis or whatever it is they do. They keep talking about Aston Martin and McLaren moving to the Red Bull concept. Am I being stupid here, or do they actually look nothing alike? The McLaren and the Aston Martin have that big water slide.
Yeah.
The Red Bull doesn't have that.
No, it has more of like a...
It's got like quite a weird like bubbly...
Yeah.
What am I missing there?
I don't know where we're going with next year, because I'm getting mixed signals in the sense of Mercedes... initially tell us that actually they've got a very good car for next year. Then you come to Abu Dhabi and then all of a sudden Lewis is kind of like, we just need to see what car we've got, because there's still a lot of work which we need to do. It's not as competitive as what we think. We just need to do a bit of work. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't keep up. Whereas McLaren are saying that they've got like they've got their own rocket ship for next year. Is that the case? I don't know. I honestly can't say.
I think... Do you know what, at this point, obviously the thought in my head is Lewis has not got, he's not a spring chicken, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He hasn't got years and years and years left where he's able to perform at the top. And realistically, he's probably outperformed beyond his prime anyway.
Yeah.
If Mercedes don't get it right next year and they get outdone by another team, it's kind of like, I'm going to lose hope that number eight is going to be achieved.
Okay, answer me this. And, you know, you guys who are watching on TikTok, firstly, how many likes are we on there?
How do you tell?
Up the top.
11.
Okay, can you get us to 30 likes? This was fun the other day, because then you just see it. It's like a little game. It's really fun.
It's a good game. You press like and we get to watch it go up.
Yeah. Hit that like button. So, do you think... Hang on, let me reword this. Will Lewis Hamilton win his eighth world title?
Well, it's gone up to 71 likes, 86. That's pretty mad. At this point in time, although I have all the faith in the world in Lewis, I do not believe that, honestly, anyone on the field is able to catch Red Bull. I think they're so far ahead. They've been able to develop since, I think it is actually since Singapore, they've just stopped developing on their car. You get to the end of the season, last race of the season, teams have been bringing upgrades. Mercedes, quite a significant upgrade in Texas. And then it ends with Max Verstappen finishing 17 seconds ahead of P2, which is his teammate Sergio Perez. Would have been Charles Leclerc, a similar time difference. So it's a bit like, I just don't have faith that anyone's able to catch up. But I'm going to go into next season and be like, it's on. And when we do the race predictions at the end of every podcast, I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton is going to win. Because one day I'll be right and I'll be able to sit here and say, I told you so.
Okay, yes or no, will Lewis be an 8-time world champion?
No.
I unfortunately would agree with you on that one.
I want to reiterate, this is not due to my thoughts on Lewis. No. I obviously still think Lewis is capable of becoming an 8-time world champion. Just not in this car.
No, I would agree with you. I think, he has everything there to be an 8-time world champion. I think it's a competitive car that will let him down.
Yeah, personally.
How many likes do we get to now?
672.
No. Really?
No, 702. 717.
You guys are mad. You guys are mad.
But what I do want to say is just you guys watching on TikTok, do you think Lewis will get an 8th world championship? And if yes, why? If no, tell us why.
Shall we talk about Abu Dhabi?
Yes.
Let's break it down. Obviously, FP1, 10 new drivers to the grid. Impressive. Drogovic finished P2, 2/10 of P1. And I don't know how to say this name. Schwartzman. Did I say it right?
No, you didn't. You said Schwartzman, and then I corrected you and said Schwartzman.
Schwartzman. He matched Carlos Sainz. They had a decent outing.
Yeah, so I think they were the two standouts. For me, Drogovic was what? Two tenths off George.
2/10, yeah.
That's quick. And yeah, Schwartzman matched Carlos Sainz.
Vesti didn't do that great.
Vesti, no, but you know, I do think this is quite a harsh forum to judge rookie drivers in. You know, there was the two Red Bulls, they were way down the field. They were like P14, P15. And
I do love that because they were very much like, look, you can put anyone in that Red Bull, and then all of a sudden they were woeful.
Yeah, so, you know, it goes to show that you can't just stick anyone in any car and they'll win.
No.
So we've given enough credit to Max this season. I'm done doing that. But yeah, I thought FP1 was pretty interesting, just seeing all the different drivers. But it's largely like uninformative.
Yeah.
For the weekend, so it's more like an exhibition.
FP2, so we didn't really see much of FP2, but we saw Carlos Sainz bin it into the wall. What is interesting is, obviously, when you see the replay, there's a car which is quite slow.
I think it was Daniel Ricciardo and AlphaTauri.
And all of a sudden, when he crashed, there was a lot of things like, oh, it's the dirty air that caused him to crash. I mean, It was a nasty crash, but I mean, it's weird. I don't think that necessarily him going a bit slower caused him to crash.
No, I think there was also an awkward bump there because we had seen Schwartzman actually, was it there where he hit it in FP1 and it shit him up a little bit? He said like, whoa, that was scary.
Who was it who in FP1 was it who got quite scared from coming around into the last corner? Almost went into the back of, oh, I can't remember. It was in the Alpine. Oh,
yeah.
Doohan?
Jack Doohan.
Was it Jack Doohan?
It might have been, but I know what you're talking about. He came around and he was like, almost just had the biggest crash of my life.
So it's like, I almost shit myself.
Yeah.
But it was nasty. They've got to do something about that though, haven't they? Because we're starting to see more cars almost crashing into other cars because they're going so slow.
Yeah, and everything they do doesn't seem to work. Like, you know, we also had the stuff with Max Verstappen overtaking in the pit lane again, which obviously they didn't penalise him for it. What they did was they then made it against the rules to do after he did it.
Yeah.
But it's just stupid, you know. firstly, from Max, that is just petulance. It's like, mate, you've already won the world title. What are you trying to prove by just going around people? It's a complete power play, and it's just like, you're not that guy.
Do you guys who are listening and watching think Red Bull get away with a lot? Or do you think the FIA are fair with Red Bull and all teams? Let us know what you're about that, because we have the same opinion that actually Red Bull get away with a lot more than what other teams get away with.
But what I do also want to add to that is I want to defend Sergio Perez's point that he said on the radio at the end of the race that the stewards have been poor all year. I want to reiterate that, because I do think they've been consistently poor. And they're poor for letting Red Bull get away with certain stuff. They've been poor for being so slow on certain decisions. They've also been poor for actually being too harsh on certain decisions. There's no real consistency in anything they do anymore. And yeah, I think obviously Sergio Perez's frustration came to a head at the end of the race, which we will talk about the Sergio Perez incident. I think it was a worthy 5-second penalty, but we will discuss that as we get in a little bit further. But we do have people agreeing here. Marty says Red Bull are totally doing dirty business with the FIA. I couldn't agree
since
more.
Since 21.
Yeah, I mean, come on, that was the biggest giveaway. 2021 was sort of the like, oh yeah, something's going on here. Someone's in bed with someone. We've also got... Hegelexi. That is just, that's, I'm reading it out like phonetically. Hegelexi is how it's spelled. Red Bull get away with so much more. And like,
facts.
It's nice to know that it's not just like a common theme. No. Like, it's not just us looking through little like Mercedes tinted specs that see it. But
because sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't realize we're doing it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, look, we're passionate Mercedes fans. Red Bull are our arch nemesis. And, you know, Max Verstappen is like Darth Vader to us, and we're Luke Skywalker. He's not our dad, but that's not what I meant by that. I meant like he's, you know, he's on the dark side. But yeah, so sometimes we probably are unintentionally biased towards Red Bull. But yeah, I do think they've got away with too much ever since 2021. Mm. And the Abu Dhabi 2021 was obviously the pinnacle of everything. But even throughout that season, Max almost got away with murder.
Oh, he got away with a lot.
Yeah.
Shall we quickly head on to FP3? Have we got any other questions? No?
Well, just obviously going back to the question where we said, do you think Lewis will win an 8th title? People also say I wish, but I don't see an 8th title in the future for him.
No, and that's the sad thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and obviously if you're listening, do just like send us DMs and stuff and get involved. But we've had another person actually saying, how many times did Max block other drivers this year in qualifying and never get a single penalty? That again is
loads.
True.
Yeah,
and I mean obviously recent history. Las Vegas, I still think what he did to Ocon and openly coming out and admitting that he then ruined his lap, how does that go unpunished? I'm sorry.
It's one rule for Max, and it's a whole different, I mean, why he wasn't it in Mexico, Max held up the grid in the pit lane, sorry.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's not allowed. So you go to Abu Dhabi, he's flying past cars in the pit lane, and then they decide, actually, you're not allowed to do that now. Yeah, where's like, the punishment?
It's like all of a sudden, like does Max just set the rules?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, you know, we know you did that, mate, but now we'll make it illegal.
Yeah, no, there's something definitely going on, and it's unnecessary because Red Bull is so quick anyway. You don't need to benefit them all, you know, you don't need to actually make them look better than they are.
Yeah, no, agreed. They need to clamp down on it because it is getting a little bit out of hand, and I think that's been demonstrated by Max's behavior
yeah
this season in some cases where doing all that bullshit.
Yeah, let's head into qualifying, because it's it. When I did a live the other day, I made it. They were like, "Oh, you know, Red Bull was struggling. Max is struggling. He can't get pole position." And I said, "Do you know what? Regardless of what Max Verstappen does in practice, he will go on and get pole position." And that's exactly what happened, because I don't know why. It's like they're sandbagging. It's like, do you know what? Oh, we're having a rough time. Now we're going to prove that we're still good.
Do you reckon they were actually sandbagging in FP3, the last race of the season, where they've just won the championship by like 400 points or something? I'll tell you what, though. I was watching it because I went and played football with Glenn.
Yeah.
And I was like, seeing the Red Bull boys been struggling, I reckon a Lewis Pole is... I don't know why I do it to myself. I'm such an idiot, but...
Do you actually generally believe it, though, that Lewis is going to get pole?
I genuinely thought pole was possible for Lewis this week, because the Merc looked good. You know, George Russell, FP1, P1, FP3, P1. Mm. I was thinking...
George was definitely better than Lewis this weekend. Car was set up, well, not set up, but he just had better control of it all
Lewis
weekend.
Lewis was fighting the car, but yeah, no, really good race from George and really good weekend from George overall. But I genuinely believed that the Red Bull was struggling. So how it just comes alive, I don't know. And I know it is to do with Max. So this is where, again, we do give Max a lot of credit for this. He does just extract the most unbelievable performances out of this car, and it is really impressive, but God, it's infuriating. It's like, can you just not, or like, can you just crash into a wall or something? And just, you don't have to be physically harmed, I just want your car to be battered, so maybe you have to start in P18. He'd still win, but maybe crash out of a race or something, or you know, have a blowout, or I don't know, power unit failure, just something.
Yeah.
But no DNFs this year.
Nothing. Let's just quickly recap on qualifying. So another poor display on Logan Sargeant, putting him P20, which is not really a shock. Lewis Hamilton went out. Actually, no, the shock was Carlos Sainz going out in P15. Again, he had some traffic. It was a real struggle for him. He didn't have a good weekend, so he went out. And all of a sudden, Lewis Hamilton goes out in P11, which, if you're Luke, he was on pole. So,
if you're me...
Well, you thought he was going to be on pole.
Yeah. No, but again, it's... You know, we've commented on Lewis's qualifying.
Been very, very poor.
He has been poor this season, and you can't hide away from that. It is something that he needs to come back next year with it fixed.
Yeah.
Over the winter, he needs to sort it, because I genuinely believe this. On the racetrack, other than Max Verstappen, he's been the fastest driver this year in terms of race pace.
Yeah.
I'd love to know if there's data out there that actually backs it up, but obviously you finished P3 in the championship. But Perez has had some really poor races. I think Perez finished above him because he's had a couple of race wins.
And Lewis had a DNF.
Yeah. And
no, not a DNF. He got disqualified.
Oh, he had a DNF and a DSQ, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So I genuinely believe Lewis has been the second fastest driver on the grid this year. Max has obviously been in a league of his own. It's been incredible. But if he has any chance of winning an eighth title, you know, if Mercedes give him the car next year, I will put it out there that he will absolutely not win an eighth title with those qualifying performances.
No, I agree.
You know, it's all well and good. I know the race is won on Sundays, but, you know, let's use the old famous Will Buxton saying, you want to qualify first because then the other 19 drivers are behind you. So...
iconic, that quote.
That's what he needs to work on going into next season.
Let's just quickly finish on qualifying. Lando, mistake caused him to miss out on the front row and being out qualified by his teammate. Leclerc, you know, to say.
Lando's mistake cost him, and I think this is a recurring pattern that we see.
Can't
in Lando,
deal with the pressure.
He can't deal with the pressure. I almost think it's like he pushes himself too hard, and
You saw the mistake in Qatar he made as well.
Whereas you see, like, you see drivers like Max where now he has matured a little bit and you see him actually taking less risks. Mm. He's a lot more calculated. And yeah, I think Lando maybe should have thought, you know, if I push any harder, I'm going to lose the car here.
Yeah.
No, let's just settle for a solid P3.
Yeah.
Probably would have been P3.
Leclerc continued his impressive end to the season. He, you know, you laughed at me last week when I predicted the top three because I went Max, Leclerc, Lando, and you were like, "Nah, that's ridiculous."
But where did Lando finish?
Fourth. It's not. Where did Lewis finish?
Granted, yeah, but Lewis had some setbacks. Still, it was out of his control.
Oh, no, mate, no. Yuki smash qualifying at AlphaTauri, upgrades proved strong. So, qualifying was quite interesting. But let's get into the race because there's not really much to say about it. It was boring. It was a boring race. There was a lot of DRS trains. Lewis damage after collision with Gasly. Didn't really affect him by the looks of it. Actually made the car better.
I'm actually curious to see this, right? You guys watching live on TikTok... And obviously, if you're listening, drop us a DM with your thoughts on this. Who's at fault here? Because I don't know whether this is just like sort of Red Bull Twitter, Verstappen fans. People saying this is, you know, Lewis has no racecraft. He can't race people. To me, as unbiased as I can humanly be, while being a Lewis Hamilton fan, Gasly locked up going into that corner.
Yeah.
Yet he still turned into the racing line. So my impression is that, like, what the hell is Lewis to do there? You know, Lewis hit the brakes, took a little bit of damage. I really didn't see how that was Lewis's fault. I don't think Gasly should have been penalised for it.
No.
I think it was a racing incident, but Gasly should have probably just taken avoiding action,
knowing
that if he turns in, you know, he's got mirrors, he can see. I know it all happens so fast, but they are professionals. You know, James Law here, Gasly was at fault, Lewis had nowhere to go. And that is absolutely the case. Because Lewis also had another encounter with Fernando Alonso a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Now, what were your thoughts on this brake checking?
For me, I don't understand how Fernando Alonso didn't get some sort of penalty.
That was unbelievable. That was,
you can literally hear it on the onboard audio. The fact that he's literally taken off the accelerator, he brake checked him.
Yeah, that was
a full-on dangerous brake check.
That, to me, was a more obvious brake check than Max Verstappen at Saudi Arabia, where that one, I believe, Lewis could have avoided.
Yes, this one he couldn't. It was blatant. You had all the evidence there showed you he took the foot off the accelerator.
Yeah, obviously we haven't seen telemetry to see if he hits the brakes.
You surely didn't need to hear telemetry. You could literally hear it.
Yeah, I mean you could see the car come to dramatically reducing speed way before the braking point because he then speeds up a little bit again to go into the corner. But yeah, we've also seen, look, Alonso again gets away with murder.
Yeah.
I do feel like, and this goes back to the point of the FIA being so inconsistent. How are they not punishing stuff like that? I know it got investigated, but in what world is there an excuse for that?
It was investigated very quick.
Because even if it was a mistake, right, you know, even if Alonso hit the brake too early into the corner, he thought his tyres were going to be too cold, so he had to hit the brakes early. That is dangerous driving, and that has to be penalised. You know, you should know as an F1 driver where your tyres are going to light up and where they're not. And this is... It was in my opinion, a blatant brake check. It didn't even look like... Alonso is not a driver that is unaware where he needs to brake.
He's experienced. He knew exactly what he's doing.
He's just a little bit experienced.
Yeah. But no, I was a bit shocked he didn't get penalised for that. Can I just say, Mercedes, you are the worst at pit stops I have ever seen in my life. Like, I still do not understand how a top team, and don't get me wrong, Mercedes were dominant for years, and the reason why they managed to have so much success is their pit stops were probably still very crap, but they made up for it in their pace, so they could still catch up cars, and that's how they made it up. This year, well, the last 2 years, you've been fully found out that actually your pit stops are so bad, and that cost you massively. Don't get me wrong, I don't think you're going to win championships the last 2 years, but position-wise, it costs you massively.
It's cost them points. Mm. And I've genuinely seen quicker turnarounds at QuickFit. It's so bad at this point. Like, every time there's a pit stop, like, whether we're texting in the group or I'm watching it with someone, I'll always be like, 3.5. And then you see it come up, and normally they make it, it's worse. It's like 3.8.
It was 3.7 the other day, and I was looking at it going, this is just woeful. It really is woeful.
You know, we've got people here saying Mercedes are the new Ferrari. And that's like the ultimate insult when talking about like the fluidity and efficiency of a team. If they say you're like Ferrari, there's nothing worse than that.
So, oh, good. I'll say that as a compliment. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 100% agree. Pit stops were embarrassing. And it's teams like Red Bull that have it absolutely bang on point. McLaren have it absolutely bang on point. Granted, they had a bad one with Lando. But, like,
yeah,
you know, you see this a lot less with these teams. And I just can't, for the life of me, understand why Mercedes are not sorting this out. Because if they are going into a title battle next season, they're not. But if they are, there's no way they're going to be able to compete against the Red Bull, who are routinely picking out 2 second flat pit stops.
Yeah, no.
When they struggle to land a sub 3 second pit stop. And if they do, we celebrate it. You know, that's how bad it is. If we get a 2.8, I'm like, Jesus, come on then, guys. It shouldn't be that, you know. That should be, 2.8 should be the absolute limit.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going into low threes, late threes, you know it's a very bad pit stop. But just finish off on the race, obviously Perez runs into Lando, 5 second penalty. For me, it was warranted.
Yeah.
He braked too late. Yes, I know Perez says he was ahead of the apex, yeah, but
no, here's the thing, right? You can't be ahead just because you've outbraked yourself. Obviously, going into the apex, you're going to be ahead because you haven't braked. You haven't slowed down enough. That's like, imagine you've got a left-hand turn and you're on the right-hand side turning in on the normal line, and then I just come flying down. I don't brake at all. In the apex, I was ahead of you.
Yeah.
But I just haven't stopped. Obviously you're ahead of him at the apex. You haven't hit the brakes at the right time.
Yeah.
It's then run Lando. Well, they touched a little bit, didn't they? But and then Lando took avoiding action. And it was Perez's fault. And obviously he came on the radio saying, like, he just turned in on me. No, he didn't.
No.
You didn't turn properly. And then Lando had some pretty interesting things to say about Checo. Like, did you see what he said?
No.
He said that it's unsurprising, you know, with Checo, he crashes into a lot of people. And I think it's kind of true, you know. I feel like
it's either that or he crashes into walls and stuff like that.
I think it's Checo's desperation, isn't it, really...
He's trying to prove himself.
There's a part of me that does feel really bad for Sergio, but at the end of the day, you can't get away with stuff like that. You deserved a penalty. I agreed with your points at the end of the race, where the stewards have been pretty bad this season.
Mm.
They actually got that call right, however.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you on that one. Just finishing off, I mean, the constructors, yes, Mercedes, well done. You got P2, you beat Ferrari. I mean, the celebrations after, I would say, were a bit excessive.
Yeah, there's not much to celebrate. You know, you know, it's like celebrating losing a fight, but it's just like, you know, if you had a three-way fight, but the other guy has come out with like two black eyes and you've only got one. It's, you know, there's nothing to celebrate.
To be fair though, if I was going to get an extra 10 million, I would celebrate.
But now they've got less wind tunnel time and they've still got a shit car. So
what would you, because that was a good question that they asked. If you were a Mercedes, what would have been the better outcome? Getting P2 in a championship or finishing P3 and getting more wind tunnel time?
At this point in time, right, all the team principals seem to say that finishing higher up is better. Now, obviously, it'd be a bit silly for me to come in and be like, well, that's just not true. You should have more wind tunnel time, because I've got no clue. But looking at it from a logical stance point, right, this is how my take on the situation is. 10 million to Mercedes.
A lot of sandwiches.
$1 billion company.
Yep.
It's not going to make a big difference.
I don't know.
But could that extra wind tunnel time be the difference between unlocking the key to the car, the key to speed, that they're now going to miss out on?
I'm thinking, use that 10 million, buy the Red Bull pit crew.
Yeah, that could work.
There you go. You've saved a massive amount of time there.
10 million, they could they just buy the Red Bull?
No.
Oh, Lewis Hamilton's 2013 Mercedes just sold for $17 million.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
But I don't know, what do you guys think? Do you think actually teams are better to get the money? Which I think that is true for a team like Williams, Haas. Or do you think it's actually better that teams get the wind tunnel time? Particularly in this case, Mercedes and Ferrari. But I've actually got some stuff for you to go through. Well, I'm going to go through with you. I need my laptop.
Okay, I'll give you that. J-Mac, Ferrari have been terrible at stops since 2002. They set a car on fire once at a pit stop.
That is true.
2,000 likes. Where'd that come from? I only asked for 50.
I told you. You actually asked for 30, so...
Oh yeah, I asked for 30.
Good one on outperforming everything. Right, I'm going to have to turn this way just so Matt can't see the screen, so hopefully you can still see me.
Before you continue, don't you find it... It's like... I don't understand. If you're watching on TikTok and or you're listening on Spotify, you might be like, oh, I know exactly what I'm talking about here. But what do the subscriptions mean? And what does half the stuff mean on here? Like, can you let us know? Because I don't quite make sense. Mercedes don't need the money. They need the wind tunnel time.
That's what I think.
Yeah, fair.
Because they don't need the money. Lewis Hamilton earns 50 million euros, I think it is, a year. I think they can afford to take a hit on 10 mil if they can afford to pay 50 mil to get wind tunnel time to benefit them next season.
Oh, you can get subscribers on here as well. This is quite weird.
Oh, wow.
Does anyone want to be our first subscriber? Let us know. That'd be cool.
Don't be stupid. Right. I've got some talking points, right?
Okay.
So the first one, Max's domination.
Yeah.
Max won this season by 290 points, right?
It was so close. Yeah.
It was a close one, but he just scraped it by 290 points. Do you want to hear this fact? This absolutely blew me away. If Max Verstappen hadn't returned from the summer break and the points from the last 10 races were redistributed, i.e. if Perez finished second and Max finished first, in this redistributed one, Perez would have actually finished first and got 25 points, right? He still would have beaten Sergio Perez to the title by 1 point.
Really?
How stupid is that, right?
He could have had the summer off.
He genuinely could have taken the next half of the year off and he wouldn't have lost. Obviously, he could have lost, but based on all the events that happened, he would have won it by 1 point. By missing the last 10 races.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Now, this leads me on to a big question. Would you say Max Verstappen's 2023 season is the greatest individual season of all time by any individual F1 driver? And I want you guys on TikTok to get involved as well here.
I think you've got to say yes. I mean, you look at two different aspects, don't you? You look at stats. He's just blown them away this year. 19 wins out of 22 races.
Is he a stat padder?
No, you got stats, but what I mean is he's also taken that car to a whole new level and he's performed. He's dominated. So it's not just what he's done on from the stats point of view, but it's how his craftsmanship, how he's driven, how he's been so consistent, also makes it up there with one of the greatest seasons. And J-Max is 100%. There's not really any argument, really.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
Because I have a potential counter-argument, right?
Okay.
Now, this season by Max Verstappen has been flawless based on everything you said.
Yeah.
He did not put a single foot wrong. He took the car to new levels. His driving was impeccable. But I'd argue that his 2021 season was better.
Yeah, and this is where, this is interesting, this comment. He hasn't had any battles, so no, but he has driven excellent.
Exactly. He has driven absolutely unbelievably. But in 2021, now we're going to leave Abu Dhabi out for the sake of this argument.
Yeah.
2021, he went head-to-head with a seven-time world champion against a constructor that had won, at that point, seven constructors in a row. Now, I don't believe his craftsmanship, as you talk about, or his racecraft, should we say, was as good as it has been this season.
No.
But he got absolutely pushed to the limit. Him and Lewis Hamilton pushed each other to the absolute limit. And we saw the speed that Max Verstappen had. Now, I think it's all well and good going out and dominating a season. But is this the greatest individual season of all time? It's hard to say. Because I love this argument of, well, actually, it's better when he races people. Can't follow people, you stupid idiot. That's just my opinion. It is also very hard to argue that this is not the greatest individual season of all time.
It pains me to say. I just think how Max has consistently driven all year round. He's finished every race this year. He's won 19 out of 22 races. He has just gone above and beyond, and he's just dominated. So I don't know how you can argue that it's not one the greatest season.
Yeah, it's a fair point, but obviously get involved. We want to hear your thoughts as well. Now, we have done this at some point in the season, but as we come to the end of the season and we round up, you know, the constructors was pretty boring. The World Drivers Championship, pretty boring. What isn't boring is the Damage Championship.
Yep.
All right. So, we're going to do all 20 drivers here. Try not to take too long.
Okay.
But we're going to start with P1. Who got P1? And by P1, I mean, who cost their team the most?
Sargeant.
Yes. Do we know how much he cost them?
It's like 3.9 something.
4.333. 3 million. Jesus. So that is impressive. It's all well and good bringing in oil money, but if you're just going to splurge it up the wall on fixing car after car while finishing P20, if you haven't DNF'd, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah.
P2.
Carlos Sainz.
Exactly.
But I feel this is harsh because Vegas cost about
a million.
Wasn't his fault.
So if this was 3.644 million, now if we're assuming Vegas cost him a million, he actually would be like, I haven't put numbers here for whatever reason, but he'd be like P7 or P8 or something.
See?
He still has had a few crashes this season. Obviously, yeah. Abu Dhabi FP2 did not help his cause out whatsoever. P3?
Albon?
No, Albon.
Oh, no, 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 no. It's Perez.
It is Sergio Perez. at 3.2 million. So that's your podium. You know, I just want to, I'm gonna ruin it a little bit here because I'm just going to compare this to what having a flawless driver in your team does for the team. Max Verstappen is on the other end of the spectrum. He's P20 and he's got £345,000 worth of damage.
I'm assuming that is wing damage or...
Yeah, well, he did... Do you remember in the pit?
In a pit, yeah.
And, you know, there'll be little bits. That is just incredible. And that is, you know, why Max is even more of an asset to the team because he doesn't make these mistakes. Even if he was just finishing P2, P3.
He'll get that as a bonus. Right, as you haven't crashed your car, we'll pay you the rest of it.
Yeah, and that Checo's 3 mil comes out of his pocket. We've then got P4.
Ooh. Is it one of the Hasses?
It's not. It's Esteban Ocon.
Is
it? 2.9 million.
See, it's hard. I don't know. I wouldn't know.
Or do you just want me to reel them off then?
Yeah, reel them off because it could be here a while.
Lance Stroll, 2.8 mil.
Yeah.
Alexander Albon, 2.7 mil.
See, I thought he was up there.
K-Mag, 2.5 mil.
Yeah.
I've got another interesting fact about K-Mag that we're going to come to in a second.
How is he still in the sport?
Yep, that is... That ties in nicely to the fact. Pierre Gasly at 2.4 mil. Oscar Piastri, 2.2. Leclerc, 1.9. Hulk, 1.5. This one's a little bit harsh. It's got Nick DeVries / Ricardo, 1.5 mil. I feel like the bulk of that was probably Nick DeVries.
Well, I don't know. Ricardo went in, didn't he, when he broke his wrist?
Yeah, that also wasn't really his fault. Lando, 1.4. Yuki, 1.2. Guan Yu Zhou, 1.2. Lewis Hamilton. How much do you reckon Lewis cost?
$900.
$880,000. Fernando at 830. Valtteri Bottas, who, might I just add, has had a bit of an underrated season. The Alfa Romeo has been dreadful.
Oh,
but he's, I'm pretty sure he scored 65% of the team's points. He's only cost them $700,000 in damage.
Only.
When you compare that to the rest of the grid.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fairly impressive, in my opinion, for what is clearly a really underwhelming car. I think not bad, Bottas. George Russell in P19 at $670,000. And then, of course, Max Verstappen has cost the team just $345,000. Or, if you're including his wage, that's $50,345,000. But not bad. It was a grand total. What do you reckon the grand total of all damage throughout the season was?
27 million?
$39.4 million.
Crikey.
Yeah, that is pretty insane. And obviously, the team that had to spend the most was Williams, which arguably the team with the least.
Yeah.
But
that's mad, isn't it? How much it costs. I mean, Haas, considering last year, Mick Schumacher cost them loads of money.
Yeah, and then...
I mean, he had Saudi Arabia, he had Monaco, you know, Canada.
Yeah, it was...
Was it Canada? I can't remember.
Well, I mean, Haas obviously had a really poor season. They finished P10.
Yeah.
So, something has got to change at Haas. Is it time for Günther Steiner to go?
They had an awful season.
I'm surprised... That's a nice little segue, actually. I'm surprised they didn't get rid of Kevin Magnussen. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we're now moving on to another interesting championship. The cost per point championship. Now, I'm going to start you off nice and easy because it segues. Kevin Magnussen was P20, right? His salary is $5 million, which meant it cost $1.666667 million per point.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable, by the way. Really poor season for K-Mag. Really poor season for Haas. And yeah, you know, it's just not good enough, and I don't know what Haas are gonna do. But who do you reckon was in P19?
Joel?
No. Valtteri Bottas. You got the team right.
Oh.
He's on a $10 million salary.
Yeah, he's on a big salary, isn't he?
And he got 10 points. I was just saying he had an underrated season, but I'm going to say it because I think that car is really bad. So yeah. we do have to give, what's it called, concessions to drivers that are driving really bad cars. $1 million per point. This one is amazing, right? P18.
Perez.
No.
Stroll.
Nope. It's Logan Sargeant. Now, I'll tell you why this is so amazing. Because he costs $1 million per point. Because his salary is $1 million. And he got 1 point. So, that is a tremendously shocking season. Now, as we move on, everyone gets dramatically cheaper. So obviously, we're in seven figures at P18. Daniel Ricciardo, AlphaTauri, $2.1 million is his salary. Which, by the way, that's really low.
Yeah, but surely that's got to go. He was only coming in for half a season.
Yeah, true. $350,000 per point. Zhou Guan Yu, Alfa Romeo, $2 million salary. $330,000 per point. This one's interesting. Now, this might actually look a bit harsher than it actually is. Lewis Hamilton, P15. He's on a $53.75 million salary, which is all right. I don't know if I'd take it personally for the amount of work.
I wouldn't get out of bed for that.
Nah, it's not worth it. So he cost the team $229,000 per point. Now, he obviously carried that team to P2.
Yep.
George Russell had a pretty bad season. We can't deny that. But George Russell was down in P5. He's on an $8 million salary. And he only costs $45,000 per point.
Bargain.
So, who do you reckon the cheapest three drivers per point were this season?
Max Verstappen.
All right. This is where sometimes Matt doesn't think, because he's clearly not thought that actually Max Verstappen earns $50 million.
Okay.
Max Verstappen earns $50 million. It's actually $55 million a year, which I think is 50 million euros a year.
No, to be fair, it's because I was reading this. I recognise the guy on the right, but I don't know where.
Who's that?
Well, if you're looking at the right, if you're watching...
It's me.
No. Yeah, you.
Why did you have to hold it that way to figure out? You could have just looked at the screen.
Why, where are you from, Luke? Where do they recognise you from?
I don't know. You definitely do not know me. But, yeah, $50 million or $55 million, right? Do you realise how many points...
All right, okay.
I mean, Max Verstappen is at the absolute...
Ask me that again.
Where do you think Max Verstappen is?
And
how much do you think he cost per point? And don't bother trying to do the math, because we have
P10.
Not... And he cost...
$40,000 per point or something.
$95,000 per point. And he was P9. Interesting.
Yeah, it was... Okay, so P1. Piastri?
Oscar Piastri, P1. He's on a $2 million salary, which, might I add, is very good for a rookie. When you consider that Yuki Tsunoda is only on $1 million. It says here that Lance Stroll is on $2 million. He's not.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here. And Logan Sargeant, the other rookie, on $1 million. So, Piastri,
decent.
We've got $2 million here. He costs $20,000 per point.
That's not bad.
That's a bargain.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's one for the future.
Alonso?
In?
P3.
He's in P2.
Oh, I was going to go P2.
He's on $5 million a year, and he costs $24,000 per point.
Yeah. And P3, Carlos Sainz?
I feel like I just gave P3 away.
I didn't actually hear.
Lance Stroll, Aston Martin, $2 million a year, his alleged salary. It's not that. $27,000 per point.
Not bad. Not bad. Right. We haven't got long left of the podcast. So if you are watching live on TikTok, 2.1K likes.
Yeah.
Can you get us to 2.5? I like this. You got any more other quiz?
No, that really is the end of season quiz. Do you know what I think we should do next week, though?
Yeah.
And I want everyone on TikTok to let us know if they're keen for this. What if we did, like, the F1 quiz of the year?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll have, like, oh, you know what? We need to get someone in to host it and ask us questions.
Well, like,
I feel like you, it's better
you versus me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we have like a quiz off.
Okay. Well, who would we get to host?
Don't know. I'll have a think.
All right.
And we'll try and figure something out. And then I think we have just like a big quiz of everything that's happened over the F1 season. And then the winner wins.
What? Is that normally what happens? The winner wins?
It's a good prize.
Okay, brilliant. Jay says, everything is basically free for Stroll. That $2 million is just for his dinner money. Yeah, fair play.
Yeah, that is probably not far from the truth. No. I still just don't believe he earns only just $2 million.
He earns more than that.
I reckon he's arguably one of the best paid drivers there.
Yeah, he's definitely up there, isn't he? Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this. Obviously, we've enjoyed doing the... What's your thoughts? Doing the actual live podcast.
Yeah, it's fine. It's kind of nice having some live interaction. It's like... It's like performing on a stage and having a crowd.
But there's no one there.
Yeah, there's no one
there. Yeah. Have you guys enjoyed it? If you're listening and watching, have you enjoyed it? Hopefully for you guys who are listening on Spotify and all other audio platforms, you've enjoyed that.
Hopefully it hasn't been too annoying for those that are listening on audio. It's not like interfering. But no. If it is, don't bother telling us because we don't care.
We're doing a lot more social media stuff now, which we weren't before. A lot more clips, daily clips are going out. Even Luke's doing a bit of editing, which is, although can I just say something, it was quite funny. So Luke was like, do you know what, I'll edit it and you will upload. You did a day and then you didn't do any more.
What do you mean? I clipped everything.
Okay, you clipped something, but you didn't do any of the editing. I did the editing.
I clipped.
Yeah.
Seven.
Yeah.
Of the reels that we put out.
Yeah.
And then I uploaded all of them.
No, you didn't. Yes. I did the editing.
Okay.
But so I sent you the videos.
Right. At what point did I say that I did the editing? Did those words ever
You just
leave
said
my
you
mouth?
Clipped it.
I clipped all the audio.
Yeah.
And sent you.
Yeah.
An audio clip with seven clips on.
Yeah.
No point did I mention I did the edit. Those words never left my mouth.
But you said you uploaded all of them.
And because I did.
You uploaded three in a day. That's it. Two in a day.
Bullshit. Go through them. I uploaded them.
No, I can't find it. 2.4K likes. Thank you very much. Right. So you should continue with the lives. Brilliant. I've been here the whole time, Luke. I'm watching.
Who's that?
Jay.
Jay? Nice one, Jay. We appreciate it. You're a top guy.
No one gives a crap about me. But anyway, we're here for you, Luke.
Thanks. It's a good choice.
We're here for you, Luke. But yeah, guys, if you're listening at home, thank you very much for joining in. Do follow us out on all other social media. Check us out on everywhere. Hit a like on our podcast. Please leave us a review. 5-star, that'd be really appreciated. For you guys who are literally watching on TikTok, if you could go over to Spotify, leave us a 5-star rating, that'd be greatly appreciated as well.
The infamous question has just come through. You know,
We knew it was going to come.
We went the whole live without anyone mentioning waffling.
We've got an hour and 14 minutes and finally somebody has asked, waffling return, ?
There is not a waffling return. However, me, Theo and Joe are filming a video together on Thursday. And that's all I can say.
It's called The Return of Waffling.
It's called Not Waffling. But anyway, that's us done. We're done. So obviously, yeah, thanks to everyone who is listening on audio. Spotify, Apple Podcasts or any other audio platform that we are available on, which I think we are available on all of them. Do make sure you follow us on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter to get involved. We really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone on TikTok Live who joined. Hopefully you can hear us. Obviously you can see us. We can see that, but we can't determine whether you can hear us very well. But yeah, let us know if there's anything we can do to improve your experience for next time. We will catch you later.
Bye-bye.